This podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Reckon Lemon as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien, Big Daddy Labrador.
Oh, good.
All right, settle down. All right, today is June 21st. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, happy Father's Day. Especially those of you doing a decent job and co-parenting with women who hate their guts. Shout out to you. Special shout out to y'all. I should have said despite. Oh my God, focus. Right. And we are at episode 350. And today I'll be talking about how I finished the book, The Fire of Vengeance by Evan Winter, and spoiler alert, I loved it. It was great. All right, but before we start, we talk about any of that, I will share some quotables and some randomness. Yeah. All right. So let's start with quotables. I just realized I don't have any quotables related to Father's Day, but fuck it, because I just remembered earlier on. All right, so first quote. I only have two today. First one, it goes, "Maybe the happy ending is you loving you."
Message.
Think about that. Last one is I'm going to read out some lyrics that you are very familiar with, but feel free to sing along. Actually, you're not going to be able to sing along because I'm just going to read it out to you. And it goes, butterfly in the sky. I said butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book, a reading rainbow. I could go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I could be anything. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. Reading rainbow.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
Yeah. All right. Okay. That's it for quotables. Let's start. Let's jump to randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Like I said, I'm starting out with Father's Day. And you know what? I think I felt the need to share. I'm going to share the dedication that Evan Winter, the author of Fires of Vengeance and The Rage of Dragons, and I thought it was really nice what a dedication that he gave to his dad, to his father, and I'm going to share it. Fuck it, man. I'm going to make a part of it, right? So bear with me. I'm actually going to read it out myself. This book is dedicated to Neville Leopold Winter. Quiet, stoic, impossibly hardworking. He was quick to laugh and had a joyous smile that crinkled his eyes. He was my father, and he passed away as The Fires of Vengeance was being written. Married for almost 50 years to one of the most wonderful women on earth, Neville began his career as a chemical engineer and finished it as a high school teacher. He gave everything to his students, working tirelessly during the week and tutoring each weekend to make the difference in the lives that he could. He certainly made a difference in mine. One of the most important things in life is to complete what you start, he said to me right before I began to take my writing seriously. He never gave me advice. And the one time that he did, it was surprisingly simple. Still, it stuck, and during the toughest writing days, when my story was wholly unwilling to be told, my father's words kept me going. 2 weeks came out, two books came out of the strength that he gave me. And even with that strength, this novel was not easy to write. So much of this series is an exploration of the relationships between fathers and son, that sons that sitting down to tell more of it felt like I was being forced to face the fact that my father was gone. And losing him had already blown a hole right through me. But reminding myself that my dad was there to raise me, teach me, watch me get married, and see me have a son of my own keeps me moving forward. He was there for me in every way that he could be. And I know that not always, and I know that's not always possible. So if this pain is the price to pay for having had, the price for having had and being loved by a father like him, I'll pay it gladly. Wow. Wow. Powerful, powerful words. Eh? I'm powerful words. I just felt like sharing a thought regarding Father's Day. And you know, this day can be complicated for folks who either father passed away or who didn't have like a healthy, great, I don't know what word I want, is ideal relationship with their father, like the one that's advertised on Hallmark cards. Yeah, I guess it's whatever, man. I just is this day just really so they can sell ties, or is it really a day to reflect on fathers? Whatever. Just felt like sharing a thought, and I felt the deepest, the most powerful words I've ever heard about someone speaking about their dad. This I felt was really strong.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, for this one is a humble brag. I just want to let you know that I donated to Wikipedia. Why? Because
you must learn.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah. So apparently, Elon Musk. So the first thought is, I heard Elon Musk just became a trillionaire, and it had me thinking about how him being a trillionaire made me realize Biggie was onto something when he made Give Me the Loot. Sure, when he does it, he's a thug. But when Elon does it, he's a trillionaire. Now, granted, I'm not going around to say that Elon Musk went around robbing people for their money. I don't know the full history, but I do know that on the journey to becoming a trillionaire, there was a lot of like, man, I don't give a fuck if you're pregnant. Give me the baby rings and the number one mom pendant. Like there was like a drive to get, look, fuck it. I'm from the cheap seats. I don't think it's possible to become a trillionaire and give a fuck about others. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering, is poverty, famine, being broke like a punchline to this guy? Like, for us, we're like, oh, that's fucked up. Is he like, what do you mean you can't eat? whatever. Okay, I'm not going to focus on that. But I am going to say that this game's rigged. I am going to say that this week I had two bank on payday. I got paid twice. One was my regular paycheck and the other one was like some back pay or vacation type pay. Doesn't matter. But I remember I had two paychecks and I remember feeling like telling myself, so that's what it must feel like to be Elon Musk. I was supposed to say that with a straight face, but I couldn't.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, another humble brag on my part. Wow, I don't usually do this. Another humble brag on my part is first I'm going to start with fuck Jeff Bezos and his hot wife, who I don't like personally. But I am going to say that I am proud of myself for having shopped, for buying a book that was available on Amazon, but I chose to buy it locally. Yay! That's right, because I'm better than you. I bought locally. All right, here's what really happened. I did buy it locally, but what really happened is I wanted to buy the books by Evan Winter. It's called The Burning Series, Rage of Dragons and Fire of Vengeance. I loved it so much I bought the book. Now, I guess I just confused a whole bunch of you. Well, how did you read the book if you didn't have it in your possession? I read the audiobook, but when I really like a book, I follow up and also buy the physical book to put on my shelves. And sometimes, especially if the book has a lot of like quotables, I like to keep it for myself. Oh shit, let's see if I can pull out one of my favorites. This is not like, it's not deep, but I consider it a quotable. I should have read. Oh my God, focus me. Right, so this story is about how I pay for it locally. And what happened is, I go to buy it on Amazon, and they have it listed for $62 and available in a week. I'm like, what the fuck? That's to say, like Amazon, usually they have it ready. You know, I have a Prime account. I have a Prime account, so you can have it at my door tomorrow at the latest. 2 days latest. So a week, I was like pissed. I'm like, if I'm going to wait a fucking week, I might as well buy it from a bookstore. And I looked it up, and it was interesting how if I buy it from the store, it's $8 cheaper. If I buy it from the store. And I'm like, wait, how the fuck is Amazon not getting it right? Then I noticed that the store had an option that, hey, we can deliver it to your house. And then I put in the numbers and my address, and it's like $74. And here's the catch. Here's the catch. It's the fact that the bookstore says we can get it to you within a week or 3 weeks. Amazon is like, we'll get it to you in a week. And so I'm still on this fuck Jeff Bezos shit, but I gotta admit, yo, we're not gonna win this class war. Holy fuck. Amazon is like, I don't know how the fuck the voodoo that they did, how they pulled it off. And I know it's not Jeff Bezos himself. I know he hired all the right people to figure that out, but it's amazing how the best the bookstore can do is week and 3 weeks. Oh, another reason why it's going to take a while for this book to get here is because the publisher of this book is a British company, something called Orbit or something like that there. Is it Orbit? These Brits, they don't show the name of the book. Oh my God, focus. Yes, and what was I saying? Yeah, it's a British company, and also I'm told that when it comes to fantasy books that aren't mainstream, yeah, you know, they're tossed to the side. Whew. Wow. So I'm giving you all this long story to say that I chose to buy it locally and I felt good about it. This should be a hint to you that how much I enjoyed the book, by the way. All right. I was thinking of finding the quote. The quote there. I thought I had a bookmark. How did I thought I bookmarked it? Leadership? No. It was some gangster shit. I felt like it was. Reigns. Oh, I think I'm close. This reminds me of the days of when I was a kid. And the pastor would say, go to your Bible. And, I guess I can't find it. Where the fuck is it? Oh, my God. Focus. All right. So, yeah. Oh, my. This whole entire segment was just for me to brag about the fact that I bought locally and I felt good about it. Luckily, I didn't need the book immediately because I would have sold out then. And help finance Jeff Bezos' bald ass head. But oh my God, okay, that's it. That's all. Bye, locally, kids.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Right. I'm currently reading another audiobook, excuse me, and it's called The Devout Wife. I forgot to get the author's name. And it's a woman, the author. And this just makes me an ally. Holler at me, ladies. right. The author's name is Sarah Denzel. And it's a... okay. Why I ended up reading it is because I... Oh, wow. Oh, that rating's not too good. It's because I had finished Fire of Vengeance and my vein was like, I need to read something else. You know, you just just like craving something and just need anything, whatever. And it was available on Audible for free. Like, I'm going to fucking... Every once in a while, like, they have, like, it's called Original, Audible Originals, and they're free. Every once in a while, it's a hit and miss. But this one's got my attention, The Devout Wife. Not paying attention to the title, but I'm thinking Devout Wife, murder mystery, whatever, shit like that. Okay, here, let me just read this. First, I'm going to say, fuck the BAFTAs. It goes, from the global number one best-selling author... We Play Games and Secret Sister comes a dark and twisted psychological thriller about loyalty, betrayal, and the lengths we'll go to protect the ones we love. Narrated by the multi-BAFTA award-winning Sheridan Smith. Oh, she's the one reading it. Star of Mrs. Biggs and Gavin and Stacey. But the author's name is Sarah A. Denzel. Okay, here's where I'm going with this is I'm actually enjoying reading it. But what gets my attention the most is how the time, so like the title says, it's Devout Wife, and she's married to a politician. But the reason why I'm sharing is the time it took me to realize that her husband was a piece of shit, was a terrible human being. And you would have thought that, okay, I won't spoil it, but I'm going to give a little details from the beginning. But you would have thought that her husband being accused in public of being a pedophile would have been my first clue that, oh, this is a red flag. No, it took me to chapter 6 to be like, man, you got, if this book doesn't end with this nigga dead, I'm not reading this book anymore. I'm close to finishing it, but all I'm getting at is the time it took me to realize she was in a shitty relationship. And sometimes I wonder if it's because I'm a man listening to a woman explaining her experience in a relationship. And I, it's complicated. It's like, it's kind of like, you know how, man, we have this habit of saying, oh, pretend she's your sister, pretend she's your mother for you to give a fuck. I'm not criticizing myself, but I am noticing two things. How long it took me to realize she was in a terrible relationship. And two, it has me questioning with men, would I have picked up on it faster if she was a man? Granted, with men, when you're in a shitty relationship, you get dissed for it. You know, you get called whooped, you get a beta cuck, whatever. Basically, you are not fulfilling your duty as a mass of as a man, allowing yourself to be in a shitty relationship. Like, you need to, you know, walk away or throw a hand. You know, it's. All I'm saying is this book had me thinking about how different the world would be if men and women, heterosexual couples, heterosexual men and women, not just couples, were able to be receptive to each other's pain when it comes to relationships. I remember growing up and just always dismissing whatever a girl would talk about her shitty relationship. And it was always her fault. So what the fuck were you thinking being with that guy? Completely ignoring the fact that this dude is a master manipulator and manipulating his image. But all this to say, I'm enjoying the story while also reflecting on whether there's like this kind of wall between men and women, heterosexual men and women, when it comes to discussing each other's pain. I think, you know, okay, this might be another final say, but I do remember prior to my unenlightened days, hearing women complain about the relationship, and I couldn't allow, instead of being showing empathy or compassion, all I could think my hurt feelings of being like, well, not all men, blah, 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 blah. And I say that's vice versa because I remember I was listening to, it might have been a podcast out loud, and it was men complaining about their girlfriends. And my girlfriend at the time, she was listening to that, and she was like, man, fuck them. You know, she was like, angry at them. It's like, fuck them. Like, like, we were hearing two voices. I was hearing just dudes griping about the relationship. She was hearing, she was feeling attacked by it. That's all I'm saying. Whatever, man. I think it's, it would be interesting how different our worlds would be if men and women were able to be more receptive to each other's pain. I should say men more than women, because I've met women who are empathetic and all that, and can sympathize with men's pain. But I don't think we men do that as much. Even I'm like looking at it. Whatever. I'm also realizing that I would not share. There's a lot of men in my life I would not be explaining, sharing this story with. Yeah, it's about a woman. She's in a shitty relationship. Homeboy is like gaslighting her and blah, blah, blah. It'd be like, dismissed. It's like, yo, do they fuck? Does she got big tits? You know, I'm just, I feel like I'm on uncharted territories. That's really what I'm getting at. All right, that's my only point. This wraps up Quotables and Randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, let's jump into final say. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. All right, during the break, I found the excerpt that I wanted to read, share with you. And so this is from book two. If you haven't read book one, yeah, it's not a spoiler. It just speaks on, well, one is the, it speaks on the character of the main character. Look, I just thought it was some clever gangster shit. That's all I want to say. That's really all I'm sharing. And by the way, if you plan on reading getting the audiobook version of this book, I recommend that you, well, pay attention, but know that if you find yourself getting lost, know that there's a glossary and a map in the actual book. So that's one thing that at the beginning, I mentioned in the past episode how when I read the first book, how I was lost at first. It took me a while to get into it. It's because I was just lost. As an audiobook listener, I wasn't paying attention to details like, hey, 200 years separates what happened in the epilogue and the main story. This is just word of advice from someone who read who went through the audiobook. All right, so this is the line I'm looking for. It goes, to discourage the crowd's advance, the Queen's Guard put their hands on their sword's hilt. Stay back, shouted one of the Queen's Guard, hitting someone from the crowd with the hilt of his sword. The violence had the opposite effect of its intended, and the shouts and the protests from the nearest nobles were deafening. Grimacing, but having had enough, Tao, the main character, drew both of his blades and stepped up beside the Queen's Guard. Let any who wish to discuss the Queen's will bring their concerns to me, he shouted loud as he could. Come forward, nobles or lesser, so we can have this talk. Gangster! <No. laughs> Okay, it's one of those you had to be there. You have to get the full line to... essentially, what he's saying is... opposition will be sweet. If you got a problem with this, because the Queen just finished saying some controversial shit, explaining a controversial decision, and Tao is like defending the Queen, and he's like, hey, if any of you have a problem with what she just said, bring it to me, while holding two swords. And essentially, it's not going to be verbal dialogue. It's going to be swift. And he's a badass. That's the other thing, too. Let me put it this way. If you were in the audience, you'd be like, yeah, I'm good. Oh, my God. Long live the Queen. And that's it. All right. So I'm going to read to you my AI-assisted journal entry about the book, because I was having difficulty putting into words why I enjoyed this book. I promise this is a spoiler-free explanation. I'm going to focus on the feeling. That I got or felt after reading the book. Like, it's one thing for me to tell you why I love the book. I want to talk about this feeling that made me love the book. So here goes. Let me. It's funny. I wasn't even a fantasy reader growing up. And I just remember why I shared that Reading Rainbow quote. But okay. It's funny. I wasn't even a fantasy reader growing up. Most of my connection to storytelling came through television and movies. I came to fantasy and science fiction later in life, looking for a break from reality. Books like Red Rising showed me why people love the genre. George R.R. Martin showed me the power of imagination, the author of Game of Thrones. But Evan Winter did something different. He combined imagination with blackness. For the first time, I found myself immersed in a fantasy world centered around African people who were allowed to be fully human. They weren't symbols. They weren't side characters. They weren't there to teach anyone a lesson. They were warriors, rivals, lovers, heroes, villains, fathers, daughters, sons, and legends. The experience reminded me of what groups like X-Clan gave me when I was younger, a sense of pride in my African origins. Not because I suddenly learned which tribe my ancestors came from or because I discovered some lost piece of family history. I'm part of the diaspora. Much of that history was taken from us. But the connection is still there. For so much of my life, stories about Africa were filtered through slavery, colonization, poverty, or tragedy. Even when I read Roots, I did that in high school, but even when I read Roots, I spent more time absorbing the horrors of slavery than appreciating Kunta Kinte's humanity. Evan Winter's book felt different. They were stories about African people simply being people. And I think that's why they affected me so deeply. Those books helped me continue the work of dismantling some of the myths I absorbed about my origins. They reminded me of my history didn't begin with slavery and that my imagination doesn't have to stop there. The best way I can describe it is this. Evan Winter's book took down the whites only sign I didn't realize was still hanging in my imagination. Hey, all right. Hey. Shout out to Evan Winter for that one. Man, get, stop dick riding that nigga. Anyway, yeah, so why? It's never hard to give another black man a compliment. Yeah, here's where I'm going with this. It's today's June 21st, and it's also the opening day or the Season 3 premiere of House of Dragon. And I remember there's like the writers chose to stray away from the books and have some black characters in there. And naturally, people bitched. I didn't give it any thoughts. I'm just like, I thought it was interesting. Sure, they used race as a way to, because they needed to make a distinction between characters and their lineage. And using race just facilitated that. But there was also a sense of representation in there. And what I find interesting is some people rejected it. Meanwhile, I went from listening to these white people saying, oh, they're only doing it for shallow reasons, some bullshit reasons, to make more money or to make you niggers happy. I went from listening to them to feeling the intended effect, which is, hey, why can't I be part of, why can't someone who looks like me be part of a world that requires your imagination to perceive it? So at first, it's I guess I'm trying to say, it's like I didn't understand. I didn't realize how much representation mattered. Like the Black Panther movie, that I remember watching that and that blew apart. That exercised a part of my mind that was never used. Like the main character was black. His entourage was black. The story was just different and they were the ones saving humanity. That was so rare. Yo, shout out to Chadwick Boseman, Boseman, for apparently initially they were going to have the Black Panther, the main character, T'Challa, speak like, or everyone from Wakanda speak like some with a British accent. And he was like, shouldn't that shit be more, you know, closer to Africa? And apparently he had to debate that one and he won his way. But that was like a very clever call on his part. But it just felt so liberating. There's a part that I use the word representation and I'm wondering if it's recognition. Like that was the overall effect. Like recognizing that, hey, that helped. But yeah, going back to what I wrote is I'm going to just like put it in my own words is like I said, yes, at the beginning, I wasn't into fantasy. I wasn't into the books, but I do remember reading Rainbow, all these people who were into books, especially science fiction and who used it as a way of escapism. I never understood it until I started to get into the genre. Yeah, no, I avoided fiction. I'm like, what's the point of reading shit that doesn't exist? But I didn't realize it's too, like, for your imagination. But yes, I credit Pierce Brown, White Man, and we got Pierce Brown for Red Rising and George R.R. Martin for those two books were like, oh, okay. It's as if they were the ones that allowed me to see the power of books. Not just knowledge, not just for acquiring knowledge, but also to exercise your imagination. And for the Burning series, yeah, I know. Oh my God. And also I did the audiobook version and the narrator, yo, he's amazing. Took me a while to get into it. It took me a while to get into it. I just remembered. Also, they used names like Udwak, Tau Salarin, oh my God, Jayed, oh my God, great, not M'Baku, but my point is names, I grew up with names sounding white people's names, either Christian names. So I remember at first I'm listening to these new names and it took a while for my brain to register that's this character, that's that, like to activate that part of my brain. It's like it was rejecting their names and not paying attention to it. Yeah, there was a lot of time where I was like, who's he? And it's only à fur et à mesure as I kept going that my brain was like, oh, that's a person's name. And it's funny because it reminds me of when people, usually white people, but okay, I could be for that too. And when they see a name they don't recognize that they're not familiar with, and they're all like, they put a lot of work into, okay, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I'm going to say, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to want to pronounce someone's names right, but you find yourself, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need to practice before I get your name right. I get that. But then someone made the point that, okay, but you had no problems with names like Daenerys Targaryen. Do you know what I mean? I still don't know how to properly spell Daenerys without a spell checker. But anyway, it's as if when white people have fucked up names with several syllables, we'll put in the effort. The brain will be like, that's a white person's name. Let's see. We got to make sure to get it right. Even though, okay, you know what? I draw the line with people from what's that place called? Norwegians. they got letters with basically it's outside the 26 letters that I'm familiar with. Funny story, just as an aside, this one time I was an MC at a wedding. I might make a bit out of this, I don't know, but I was MC at a wedding, and I this is embarrassing. I don't believe I'm sharing this shit. Yeah, I was an MC at the wedding, and the it was a Trinidadian woman marrying a Nigerian dude. And so I read it off. I don't know, shout outs. Someone asked me to read off a list of shout out people to thank and stuff like that. Yeah, when it came to the Trinidadian, her family, no problem. Beep, bop, bell, because, you know, all these, because, you know, slavery. You know, we got all these white people name. And then when I got to Nigerian's name, I'm like, fuck. There's a lot of, like, consonants. Combination of consonants and syllables I am not familiar with. And I remember thinking, I was like, fuck, why can't y'all have white people's name? I didn't say that out loud, but I'm telling myself, why can't y'all have white people's name like the rest of us? And I'm like, oh, right, slavery. Anyway, right, that's off topic. But yes, there was, like I said, my imagination was fully exercised in reading this book. Some people won't like it, and some people will like it. Yes, do I recommend all black people read this book? No, I mean, if you're not into fiction. But I am saying, I am encouraging, especially black folks, to read fiction written by black authors. Hopefully, you know, find one that you like, but yeah, I am encouraging. It would have done me some good to have been exposed to more fiction writers who were black. Period. Anyways, yeah, my recommendation to you, and I guess that's it. Yeah, and I guess that's about it. This is where I fight the urge to over-explain my point, and I'm going to stop there. So I'm going to wrap it up and say this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast! Before I end this show, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Email me your thoughts, but remember, it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Oh, happy belated Juneteenth. And happy belated Juneteenth, and shout out to Brazil and Haiti who played. You know, I'm actually grateful for, okay, shout out to Haiti and Brazil who played. Haiti did lose. Haiti did lose, but I love hearing how much everyone speaks about how well Haiti is playing. It's like, it's not like, no one is saying, oh yeah, they deserve to get their ass kicked. No, they said, no, they put up a fight. The athletes on that field are good at what they do. But that's how it is with competition. Everyone, you know, sometimes you just play against someone who like or better. But it doesn't change the fact that you are dope at what you are doing. So shout out to the Rouge et Bleu, les Grenadiers. Anyways, and you know, shout out to Brazil, because Brazil is my team when Haiti's not playing. And, right. I heard the Canadian team won 6-0 against Qatar. Look. I'm waiting I'm waiting to see how Canada does before I jump on that bandwagon. But because we're like, come on. If it was a hockey ring, I mean, yeah, sure. But soccer, I'm just saying. Let me give it some time. But yeah. Where was I? Yes, red and blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent a hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I represent a hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F was for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.